Hi, welcome back to the Heresy is Good podcast. My name is Teddy Lee Brown, and I'm a heretic. Heresy frees me from the chains of orthodoxy and allows me to see the whole elephant for myself. Before we get started discussing some of the nuts and bolts of psychedelic therapy, I would like to briefly talk about what was historically referred to as idiot savants, and presently as savant syndrome. I clearly remember my disbelief and shock when I first encountered the phenomena long ago, and thereafter was haunted by a sense of deeper meaning I couldn't begin to fathom until after psychedelics. Let me share some excerpts from aruma.com.au describing the syndrome for those who aren't familiar with it. Quote, "We don't actually know what causes savant syndrome. There are many theories, but no one theory is able to cover all people. They estimate that 10% of people with autism have some level of savant abilities, but people with developmental disabilities, acquired brain injuries, or injuries to the central nervous system also can. While some people start demonstrating their abilities in early childhood, such as those with autism, others suddenly acquire them later in life due to an accident or illness, such as a stroke. The abilities of people with savant syndrome are very varied. Some people can multiply and divide large numbers in their heads. Others can answer the question, what day of the week was March 22, 1932, with Tuesday, instantaneously? Some can play up to 22 instruments, measure distance without using any instruments, learn languages in a few days, or memorize huge volumes of information." End quote. The article then goes on and profiles multiple examples. Let's start with Kim Peek. While Raymond from Rain Man was fictional, the character was actually inspired by the true story of Kim Peek. In the movie, Raymond is portrayed as having autism. However, Kim actually had a condition where the bundle of nerves that connect the two hemispheres of the brain was missing. Kim's memory abilities were astounding. During his life, he memorized over 12,000 books, including the Bible, and was an expert on 15 subject areas, including geography, music, literature, history, and sports. Amazingly, Kim could actually read two pages at once. His left eye read the left page, and his right eye read the right page. It only took him 8 seconds to read and memorize the two pages. End quote. Next up, Leslie Lemke. When Leslie was born prematurely, he had brain damage, cerebral palsy, and had to have his eyes surgically removed due to glaucoma. When Leslie was put up for adoption at 6 months old, May, a local nurse who was 52 with 5 children of her own, welcomed him into her family. When Leslie was 16, in the middle of the night, May woke up to music playing. Thinking she had left the TV on, she went into the lounge room to turn it off, but found Leslie playing Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto No. 1 flawlessly on their piano. He had heard it on TV earlier that day. Despite Leslie having no musical training, he began to play all styles of music from ragtime to classical. All it took for Leslie to play a song perfectly was for him to hear the music once. And the article points out you can see videos of Leslie on YouTube. For many years before Leslie's death declined, he gave regular concerts in the U.S., Japan, and Scandinavia, and also appeared on many U.S. TV shows. End quote. Next up, Stephen Wiltshire. Quote, as a young child, Stephen discovered a passion for drawing, first of animals, then buses, then buildings, and the city's landmarks. Throughout his early childhood, Stephen was unable to communicate verbally, but instead communicated through his drawings. Today, Stephen is an artist with unique talent, which has led to him being nicknamed the Human Camera. After he sees a city landscape just once, such as from a plane, he can draw it perfectly from memory, right down to the number of floors and windows on each building. Famously, in 2005, following a short helicopter ride over Tokyo, he drew a perfect 10-meter landscape of the city, and has since also done Rome, New York, and Singapore. End quote. And they also mentioned that you can see Stephen on YouTube. My last example is Daniel Tammet. Quote, Daniel first became famous when he recited pi from memory to the 22,514th decimal places, a feat which took over 5 hours, and since his exceptional mathematical and language abilities have amazed the world. Daniel speaks 11 languages, and in 2007 was challenged to learn Icelandic, a notoriously difficult language, within the week. 7 days later, Daniel was interviewed on Icelandic television, speaking, of course, in fluent Icelandic. His real talent, however, is numbers. Numbers, according to Daniel, are special to him. He actually sees numbers in calculations, a rare ability called synesthesia. In his mind, each number from 1 to 10,000 has its own unique shape, color, texture, and feel. He has described 289 as being particularly ugly, 333 as particularly attractive, and pi as beautiful. End quote. You are probably asking yourself the same question I did. How is such a thing possible? I'd been taught that we were born tabula rasa, a blank slate, that consciousness rose from experience and education, and expertise in math required years of study by our best minds. How many of us, with no musical training whatsoever, would love the ability to play perfectly every song we ever heard only once on an instrument we never played before? I also imagine that having a photographic memory and the artistic skills to draw what we've seen from memory could have its advantages too. Having the ability to simultaneously read two pages with two different eyes and memorize it in 8 seconds would have freed up a lot of party time over the years. As it turns out, they in their own way prove we weren't born blank slates after all. The talent of savants were not learned, as we are inclined to define learned. They have a great deal to teach us about consciousness and memory. The savants we've discussed weren't innately born with anything we don't have, except their disability. That is proven when a case of savant syndrome is caused by a brain or central nervous system trauma or sickness later in life. Ordinary people like you and I can suddenly, inadvertently, possess miraculous talents and memory skills that we or they could have never ever believed possible before. Which means we have always had or have the potential to attain such knowledge, but not the access. Why? Science has found no single cause for savant syndrome, but when caused by brain trauma, it's a result of damage to the left anterior temporal lobe. Scientists using low-frequency transcranial magnetic stimulation targeting that area of the brain to briefly disable it have artificially recreated a degree of savant syndrome. Psychedelics can also temporarily wrestle control from the frontal lobe and allows easier access to the subconscious. So don't be surprised why under the influence, if you're suddenly capable of knowing the unknown and feats of memory you didn't know possible. When it comes to the kind of talent the savants possess, especially memory, we're the ones who are developmentally impaired. Even relatively minor brainwave changes under the influence of psychedelics can alter our frontal lobe dominated ordinary everyday waking consciousness and allow access to information and memory previously inaccessible and thought by many to be non-existent. The quality of your psychedelic therapy will be dependent upon you getting good at creating the proper circumstances for plumbing the subconscious. All the information you will eventually need can be found within yourself, as difficult as that may be to believe until you experience it. It's true. It doesn't all come easy, but it's there. Now, let's get back to some of the nuts and bolts of psychedelic therapy. I cannot overstress the importance of set and setting. They can easily make or break you. You absolutely need a safe environment to work. And ideally, you would have an experienced psychedelic therapist or sitter. But we both know that that isn't always possible. If you do work alone, you absolutely need to take all the necessary precautions to ensure your session won't be unnecessarily interrupted or disturbed by undesirable stimulus, leading to negative experiences and consequences. When I first started doing my sessions myself, I lived in a 3-bedroom apartment with 2 roommates that I had to work around. I took advantage of the times I knew they wouldn't be there and sometimes worked during the middle of the night to have the peace and quiet necessary. A pair of noise-canceling headphones could have come in real handy back then if they had been invented yet. But a good pair of headphones and the right music can be your ticket to ride. Without a therapist or sitter, it is especially important to have a safe, secure setting because you will be incredibly vulnerable. Depending upon dosage or the material you're working through, you could find yourself unable to move or talk for hours. Even if your mobility is intact, you can still be overrun by unprecedented strong waves of emotion like nothing you have ever experienced, and in no position to deal with anybody or anything but those emotions. You are going to have everything you are going to need in the room. Water, snacks for energy, pen and paper for notes or entries into a journal post-session, artist supplies for those who want to work through or document or express their sessions in that way, Music can be your best friend and wisest therapist. You can check out the wide variety of music now available specifically for psychedelic sessions, or choose your own. Either way, you are going to be listening to a lot of music. But please, above all, have a secure place to work. Let's address some of the issues involved with not having a therapist or a sitter, and what, if anything, can be done about it. Certified, experienced psychedelic therapy therapists are amongst the rarest of species on this planet right now, and will continue to be for some time. They are a luxury most of us will never know. Other medical professionals are learning to use psychedelics as medicine to great effect, but that in no way qualifies them to do psychedelic therapy. Anyone without substantial personal experience with psychedelics would in no way qualify, no matter their training. And that is exactly why a substantial level of use and experience is a major requirement to become a certified therapist. They, with professional guidance, have been there and done that, and can help make the process much more efficient while minimizing suffering. Fortunately, experienced sitters are not as rare as certified therapists, but you're still unlikely to find them growing on trees near you. So, what's the alternative? Someone who gives a damn. Someone who shares your interest and desire to follow up. If someone like that is not in your life right now, you're going to have to be your own sitter until they are. And we'll talk more about that later. Of course, a seasoned, experienced sitter would be preferable. But the sitter doesn't run the show. They are there to assist, not direct. More often than not, they are a sounding board. Someone you talk to while figuring out your own problems. You might be surprised how healing a sympathetic ear can be, especially for someone who has never been heard or provided the empathy and emotional support necessary to help heal from the deprivation and trauma. Sitters are to therapists what nurses are to doctors. No one expects them to do surgery, but they are hands-on when it comes to meeting the needs that facilitate the healing of their clients. A sitter must be a dedicated, compassionate human being, willing to learn on the job, and who shares an intense interest in the subject matter, including you. They're being required to sit in on sessions that can run anywhere from 4 to 8 hours and remain attentive, which is no easy task sometimes while sitting in a silent dark room for hours at a time until called upon. Considering how relatively few experienced sitters there are out there and their lack of availability, you are most likely going to have to do what previous generations did. Make your own sitters. Many of us started out alone and eventually hooked up with like-minded people. That was not easy to do pre-internet days. It could take years, and for many, it never happened at all. So yes, we earned our experience the hard way. We lived the equivalent of being thrown into the deep end of the pool to learn how to swim, and survived and thrived despite swallowing some water from time to time. So, can you do it alone if you have to? I can't answer that question for you because I don't know you. You might be in that tiny minority who are suffering from troublesome forms of schizophrenia or psychosis, in which case you deserve and need a certified therapist, and likely should not do it on your own, but instead wait and go about it the way that would be the most constructive for you, instead of possibly setting yourself back. For others, I'm not going to be the one to throw you into the deep end of the pool, but I can't keep you from jumping in on your own. I'm trying to walk that line where I encourage caution, but not instill fear and paranoia. For example, when it comes to dosage, you may have heard the more the better. Well, that can be true under the right circumstances, but a disaster in others. Some of you will get as lucky as I did in the beginning and have extremely positive life-altering experiences, while others can get ambushed by old trauma that they are not prepared for or knowledgeable enough about to work through properly, and instead have negative experiences that can set them back. If you're concerned about that, maybe you should start out on cannabis edibles until you get your therapy legs under you. I've had my share of harrowing experiences over the years, but I learned from every one of them, and they were vastly outnumbered by the positive healing experiences. My only regret is that I didn't know then what I know now. And fortunately for you, I'm willing to pass that along. My name is Teddy Lee Brown, and I am proud to be a heretic, and so should you. In the next episode, we will be taking a deep dive into the work of Dr. Stanislav Grof. Why? Because no one knows more about or has had more experience with psychedelic therapy than Stan Grof. His work is being used to train therapists and sitters all over the world. We will talk about trauma, what it is, and how to go about resolving it. In the meantime, please consider subscribing to the Heresy is Good podcast and help me reach out to the ever-growing community in need of it. You can subscribe for as little as 99 cents per episode on Spotify, or join the Heretic Club on Patreon. You can also donate directly via PayPal at heresyisgood.com and check out some of our merchandise inspired by this podcast while you're there. Until next time, be the best heretic you can be.